Praise God. We're gonna pray. We're gonna do this all over again because we're gonna praise and worship again. Now, wasn't that wonderful praise and worship?
Yes.
I mean, it was just glorious, the presence of God. I was praying this morning about the presence of God and how we invite Him to come. You know, He needs to be invited in your life. You know, God doesn't show up in your life just because He's God and He knows everything. He knows everything. But He wants your cooperation, and He can't have any place in your life unless you allow Him, just like you would any person. Hello?
Hello.
You need to invite Him in your life, and He'll come in your life, and He'll help you. But if you shun Him, if you don't pay attention to Him, He's not gonna force His way in your life. And so you have to invite Him. And so this morning, because I'm head of this area, I've been given the authority to be the leader here. So I invited the Spirit of God to come and bless. And of course, I believe everybody's open to the Lord. Aren't you open to the Lord? So I believe, you know, this morning will be a life-changing moment for you. And, you know, it's already has the impact of the Spirit, you know. Wherever the Spirit is, there's liberty, the Bible says. Wherever the Spirit is, when He's invited, there's liberty, freedom. And then you can sense the freedom. And He's so good and wonderful to give us that. And so I want to say I'm one grateful person who got free from addictions and got free from all that other stuff. There's all kinds of trauma that comes along with addictions, not just stopping. You don't just stop drinking, you stop, you know, doing all the other things. And so all the other junk that came with it. Today, it happened just like I've never had a drink in my life. But I'll never forget it. But I know, you know, the effects of it hasn't been so traumatic. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I was reading their Facebook, and a student of mine at the college, you know, and she wrote on there that she, you know, she was in our program at the college. My wife taught there for, you know, almost 20 years, and she talked about the trauma she came out of. She just finished university, and she came in without anything. She was addicted. She was on, I believe she was on some kind of medication to help her along as she got sober and got free from drugs. And she was barely making it every day to school and so on and having a hard time. But she got through the upgrading program, got into a program at the college and finished that and went on to the university and graduated. And of course, you know, there's struggles along the way. She was saying how people don't understand the tragedy or the trauma she went through or that some of us have to go through and the stuff that goes along with all the addictions. And I mentioned to her that, you know, you remember the story about the three Hebrew children where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, threw the three kids, the boys. Again, I'm not sure if they're actually boys. How old were they? You remember how old they were? Teenagers, I guess. But they were thrown in this fiery furnace, and because they would not worship the god of Babylon, they did. And so they said, "We're not gonna worship your God. We already have a God. We know who our God is. And so we have committed our commitment. Even if they said, God will rescue us. You have to know God's going to rescue you, right?
Amen.
And he said, we know God's going to rescue us. And besides that, even if you throw us in, we will still, and if we ever get thrown in there, we still wouldn't worship your God. And so that's their commitment. Their first, there was faith. And second, there's commitment. Their commitment was, no matter what, I'm going to just follow the principles and go on. No matter what the consequences are, I'm going to stick with the right principle and make it through this. And they did, right? So I believe that today is a new day for you. This is a brand new day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in this. Everybody stand up as we pray together. Father, we want to thank you as we get into your word this morning. We give you praise. Let's lift our hands and thank him in advance by faith. Father, we thank you. We invite the Holy Spirit that you come and teach every person. They're so uniquely designed, so uniquely made, perfectly designed, each one of them. And you have a plan for each one. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would insert into them another idea or principle or something they need to complete the task. It is you that gives us the ability to do whatever you call us to do, and yet you give us even the desire to follow you. You furnish all those things, the desire and the ability to follow you. Nothing of ours. of our own strength. So we yield to you. We yield our whole spirit, our soul and body to you. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, go to your Bibles with me this morning. We've been on a journey together, and I want to invite you to take notes if you can. And every Sunday we've been devoting ourselves to the types of prayers that are spoken about in the Bible, and that there are different rules for each one that make it work. Spiritual laws that are given, when I say, you know, principles I'm talking about, there are principles that if we follow the principles, these things are going to work. And so God has given us what we've discovered, about 9 or 11 kinds of prayers. And so we're going to talk about another one today and how it works. And so we're going to talk about the prayer of binding and loosing, what Jesus talked about. And so we read our golden text, these two scriptures that we use for teaching anything on prayer, Ephesians 6:18 and John 15:7. Ephesians 6:18, Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, the people there. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I think I neglected to give you guys my notes. Have I? Sorry about that. Okay, I'm going to give it to you right now so that you will not be like what happened to our little girl last week. She was laughing, but I think she was crying underneath. She's like a clown. She says, you didn't give me no notes, you know. And we were all wondering, why aren't you giving those notes up there? Well, it was my fault all the time. So, praise God. I'm sorry about that. I love you, and I appreciate you. I mean, okay, so it says praying always with all prayer. And I'm going to show you that some of the versions, translations saying praying always with all kinds of prayer, or all manner of prayer, or various kinds of prayer. So when we talk about prayer, people talk about prayer, they kind of generalize and say praying, you know, is asking God for something. Well, it's more than asking God for something. It's talking to God. It's communicating with God. You're talking to Him and He's talking to you. It's not just one-sided. You hear what He says as well. And so there's all kinds of praying. And one of them is prayer petition, and that is asking God something for a need. See, God knows everything, but He requires you to still ask Him, because He needs permission. You see, God is the God of heaven right now is not the God of this world. The Bible speaks of there's a God of this world. He's called Satan. And he stole that power, you know, from Adam, as the Bible shows us. We look at, you know, the research and study it. And the Bible says when the devil tempted Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, the scripture talks about it. I'll show you again after with these scriptures. In Luke chapter, I believe chapter 4, verse 6, he says, all this power and authority and all the glory of this world I will give you if you will worship me. And so that was a temptation that Jesus had, because, you know, he came as a man, and he had to walk as a man by faith and with the help of the Spirit. And so he was able to defeat and win the battle because he stuck with principles. Everybody say principles. Principles. So, you know, things work. You know, like the principle of the multiplication table is always the same. 1,000 years, it'll still be the same as now. It's not going to change. Gravity will be the change. Will be changing. No, no. It'll be the same. Okay. 10 years from now, gravity is going to be the same. It's that principle there that operates. And if you go on the roof, you said, "I'm going to fly." Woo! You won't be flying. The principle is that you'll fall to the ground. And there are principles like that. So we have to stick with the principles and understand what we understand as according to the laws. You know, I didn't understand all this myself, you know, before. And I wasn't really that smart in school as well. But God made me smart. You know that God can make you smart? Not a smart behind, but a smart person. But God can make you very smart. And He can do that. And He's been able to help help us. And so I believe that anybody, any Bible says even the simplest person in the world can understand what God's telling them. So you don't have to be very intelligent and have a university education or grade five or finish high school. God can talk to every one of you just right where you are, and he can speak into your life and make a change there. So that verse of scripture, what I'm trying to get out of Ephesians 6:18 is that the principle is that there's all kinds of prayers. And so with that saying that we all have to understand and know which ones that are mentioned in there and learn them and do them right. If we are to have a successful prayer life, not just kind of throw out a prayer out there and hoping that it's going to work. No, when you follow a principle, you can expect it to work. And so that's called praying in the dark when you don't know anything. So you have to be enlightened and understand how principles work. And so John 15:7, Jesus said, the onus on us is to do the praying and to ask God. You know, if we ask God something, he will do it. And so it says here in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The emphasis is on you. So we have to understand, it's the onus is on us to understand that these principles, study them and find out how to do it properly, and then we won't be discouraged. And sometimes people pray too soon about certain things and they feel disappointed because it didn't work. So we need to get things in line first in order for us for these things to work, and so that we're not going to be confused and disappointed in God that he didn't grant us something. So we have to get ourselves in position. You can't just force your prayer on someone. How many people know you can't just force your will on someone? Okay, we wouldn't want to do that. If somebody came to your house and said, I'm going to force you to come over here. No, you can't do that. It's against the law. Right? It's against the law. And so in the same way, God's not going to come to you and force you to quit smoking. I'm always after smokers. Because I used to be a good smoker. I smoked from morning till dawn. I mean, morning till nighttime. And so I was faithfully doing it. But I used to pray, God, take this away from me. Oh, Lord, take this away. I feel so bad. I smoke, you know. No, I had to understand that I loved smoking. I had to be honest about it until I got to a place of honesty. Then he could take it from me. I mean, I could use all kinds of things like chicken or food or something. But you have to want to do this, right? But he gives you the willingness to follow him. He does. You know, I found a good scripture I use quite often around here. Over in, I believe Philippians or Philippians 2 and 13. That God furnishes you the one to do something that you don't want to do. And also, he'll give you the ability to do whatever that needs to be done in your life. So you have to trust him to do it. So anyway, that's something else. So here's our scriptural text. Finally, we get to the scripture text. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, the Bible talks about three heavens. There's a heaven where God lives. That's certainly not what he's talking about there. There's a heaven above us where in the heavenlies where the spiritual darkness will work. They try to work through the other spirits that are designed to come here, which are the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness are in this world right now. They're working around the world right now. And it's causing a lot of havoc. And people blame God for all the tragedies that's going on. No, it's the devil. And we need to do our part and help, you know, people that don't know any better. Praise God. You know, but even when someone goes against God's will and they're doing things, you know, they can get blinded. Any one of us can get blinded by addictions and different things that we get hooked up to. And we get so lost in that, And so we get so embedded in that we don't know how to get out ourselves. And so that's why people need our prayer. And so we need to pray for people. So it says here that Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, he's talking about us earthlings that are living here. He says, whatever you bind, the word bind is, I guess, a legal term. You forbid or call to be unlawful on earth in your life or someone else's life, if they allow you to, will be bound in heaven. There's a heavens above us where demon activity, the Bible tells us, there's some activity there, that they're working there to make, you know, things happen here that are evil. And so we have to do something about it. And God's not going to do anything about it because He's not the God of this world right now. One day He'll come back and become the God of this world. But so He's given us the authority that we have lost as humanity and taken it back, given it back to us when He rose from the dead. That's why He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now I'm going to give you that authority as my people, as my church, to go and do whatever I told you to do. And so let's read this from the Amplified Version. He said, I assure you, most solemnly, I say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper, unlawful on earth shall be already been bound in heaven, and in whatever you loose or permit, declare lawful on earth shall be already loosed in heaven. And so the Amplified says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth. You know, I think sometimes we've allowed things to happen in our lives because we've been so blind and brainwashed, maybe religiously. I mean, I grew up in a church where I was never taught the Bible. I was just told about things. I was never encouraged to read the Bible for myself, to study it. And never had a Bible study. We just had what we call church services. And they were told that only the priest could read the Bible. And he can only interpret. And if I wanted my sins forgiven, I had to go to the priest. Well, that's all New Testament. Jesus abolished all that stuff. You don't have to have all that religious stuff anymore. You can go to God yourself. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. You can go directly, bypass everybody, and go. You don't have to come to me or anybody religious leader. Go to God yourself. And that's the good thing about the New Testament. God comes to live inside you. Amen? So, here's the main idea for this morning, if you haven't caught it yet. I did. And that is exercising power over the enemy, or we can exercise power over the enemy through our prayer. And sometimes you have to see that scripturally and understand it. God has intended us to keep the peace in order in this world, in our own world, and in the world we live in, and those who allow us to, so that we can have the right. He's intended for us to keep the peace. Like, we're to police the activity of the enemy and stop him where he's been active, if we understand that. We are to exercise dominion. We have to exercise our right, which was given to us from the beginning of time. The body of Christ, or believers who know Christ personally, are to police the forces of darkness of this world so that he won't bring evil to us, to our homes, to our personal lives, and those that we love. Satan and his cohorts are ever trying to run rampant throughout this world, dominating wherever he can go, wherever there's no enlightenment. So we have to create a climate of change, and God gives us that ability to create that climate first for our own lives. So if we don't do anything about any our situations right now, currently, nothing ever will be done. God's not going to come and make changes, unless He's invited, unless you ask Him to. So He's given us the ability to make those changes through our faith and our prayer, and it's up to us right now. You can see that Matthew 18, 18, and 19, the principles there. God is waiting for you and me right now to utter words that will make some changes in your life. 2 Chronicles 6:9, the first part of that verse of Scripture says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So God's right now, He's ready to strengthen you. He's ready to help you. Whatever it is you need. And you have to believe that. Things just don't happen because they're so, that they're true. You have to make it that it's true for me. It's my truth. God is waiting for you to ask Him. Psalm 34:15, New Living says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open unto their cries for help. So we are to change the climate of our lives and over every situation that affects us. We can exercise control over the powers of darkness and take authority over all the circumstances that He's created to defy God's will, His plan, and His purpose for our own lives. So we need to take authority over that. You know, there's a story, incident in the Bible where Jesus was, ministering, and a man who, a centurion, a man who was a leader in the army, in Roman army, came to Jesus, and his servant was sick at home, suffering in pain. He says, "Jesus, can you heal my son?" And Jesus said, I'll come right over to your house and heal that servant of yours." He said, "No, don't come. Just say the word. Say the word right now. I'm a man under authority. And whenever I say something, my servants go and do it. I tell them to do this, and they do it. If I say, go over here, they'll go over here. But Jesus, if you command right now, just say the word, and I know your Father and your angels of God will go forth and cause healing on my child." So Jesus said, "Go, be it done according to even as you spoke." You know, God, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our very high priest standing at the right hand of the Father. Right now, He's your very high priest, ministering to the Father. Whatever you say, He makes happen in your own life. And people, far too many of us are saying the wrong things. We get disappointed in our soul. We get disappointed, we get angry, we get sad. We say things out of our anger, out of our hurt, and it's wrong. And we get into the wrong principle, and that gives license to the enemy to come in your life. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. Whatever you say happens. And Jesus said to the disciples, whatever you say, that's what's going to happen in your life. And I was looking at, when I was teaching at the college, we had a video that we use once in a while, you know. And I recognized in that video, this guy was talking about Mark 11, 20, 24, 25, 23, 24, about whatever you say. He talked about, speak to the universe, and the universe will give you. Well, that's the same principle. You know, it's the same principle. The principles are there. And we need to talk right. Amen? Are you ready to talk right? Okay, so let's go back to this here. So we have to change the climate of our lives by exercising dominion and control. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our prayer, we can take down the forces of darkness that are affecting our very lives right now. We are to spoil or destroy or paralyze the enemy's plans, his plots, his purposes, or his maneuvers that are coming against us or someone in the body of Christ. We must take our place and do something, or nothing will happen in our lives. We must believe and work those scriptures. Here's a story I want to relate to you that, when I went to Bible college, Brother Hagin told us a story, so many stories. He related a story to us that, you know, he had these visions from the Lord, had some visitations from the Lord. In one of his visions, he said, Jesus came to him, and Jesus said to him, I want to teach you about demons, devils, and evil spirits, and how to get into the lives of people. So he begins to talk to him. And during his discussion, a demon appeared between him and Jesus. Now, he's looking at Jesus, and Jesus is talking to him in his vision. And so as he was talking, this demon came between him, and he would scream with a screech so loud that he couldn't hear what Jesus was talking about. And he whenever he screamed, also a puff of smoke would come, and he couldn't even read the lips of Jesus as he was trying to show him about demons and evil spirits and their activity in the lives of people. And he said, he was getting so frustrated. He said, why doesn't he do anything about that demon? And it went on and on. He tried to listen. And finally, he got so upset, he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of there. And that demon fell on the ground. And he started to whimper and whine and crawl away. He said, I know I have to go if you tell me to. He said, no, you better go. And Jesus turned to him in that vision and said, I couldn't do anything about that demon if you didn't. And he shook his head for three times. He said, I misunderstand you. You mean you say you wouldn't? He said, no, I couldn't. He went on again three times. He said, no, I'm really misunderstanding you. He said that you wouldn't. No, he said, I couldn't. Then the Lord began to show him the principles in the scriptures about our taking our place and our authority. And unless we do something about our own in our own lives, that he can't do anything in our lives. Unless we start to do something, unless we start speaking, and unless we start praying, then God can move on our behalf. And so you know, how many understand this? That you have to understand, you know, and the rest of the story or some of the things that I'm saying right now, because that God has no authority here in this world. Like he, you know, the scripture says that Satan is the god of this world. You know, the psalmist says, you know, that although I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, the valley of the shadow of darkness is this world that we're living in. There's a lot of darkness. And Psalm 23 is a story about God and his people. We are the sheep. He's our shepherd. And he said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. And I realized one day that I didn't have to have fear in my life, that I could dominate fear, that I don't have to have or give in to fear. And I had, you know, I, if you understood my background, I had so much fear and anxiety. And I see a lot of people suffering from anxiety. They say, my anxiety is acting up. No, it has roots in fear. If you begin to deal with the source, the anxiety is about to leave somewhere. I was traveling to Rocky Bay one day, and I first got saved. I was terribly, always having my palms sweaty, my heart, you know. I want to sing about that. My palms are sweaty, mama's spaghetti, you know. And I was trying to sing that song, and my palms were all sweaty. You know, and my heart's always pounding, and sometimes I can't sit in the car with people, with a bunch of people, because I'm ready to jump off. You know, I couldn't get in the bus because I'm afraid I'll lose my mind between. I mean, I was so much PTSD, and I wake up with sweats at night, and same occurring nightmares for years and years, even after I stopped drinking, stopped taking drugs. I had them continually on and on and on and on and on. I thought it'd never end. After 4 years, it was still there. Until one day, a friend of mine came. He was a Christian guy. I didn't really like him that much. I think he was a little bit too pushy with his Christian beliefs, you know. I mean, I thank God for people who have faith and spiritual beliefs, but don't push it on people. Not everybody's ready. Just be their friend for a while. Come on now. And then you have something to say to them. They'll listen to you after you care for them. So he invites me. He said, let's come with me to Rocky Bay for the day. And I was kind of, you know, iffy about it because I was afraid. I want to go for a drive, enjoy the scenery. So I went there, and I had an anxiety attack while we were heading to Nipigon. So we stopped off somewhere, and I got in there to a bathroom, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, I died for the peace that you can have. And he showed me Isaiah 53. And that was my beginning, my beginning, where I began to see that I didn't have to fear anymore. Isaiah 41 says, fear thou not, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee with my hand, the right hand of my righteousness. That's one of the first scriptures I remember about that. Then I saw other scriptures, you know. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. He watches over you. I realize that, you know, the more scripture we know, the more freedom we'll have over these kinds of things. And we could be strong in one part of our area of our spirituality and weak in another area. So we need to have a good, you know, exercise of different things. So anyway, Jesus told him that he couldn't have done anything unless he did something about it. And so this is where we come to. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That's just one scripture that tells us if we don't do something about our own lives and take authority, spiritual authority over our lives, because there's spiritual activity going on, even if you don't see it. Even if you don't believe it, it's there. And, you know, you might not believe that there's electricity in the air or running through this building, but there is. You don't see it. And I always said, there's little creatures walking around on the floor, but you can't see them. You can't see with your eyes. They're microscopically little dinosaurs trying to get at you. But they're there. They get long, you know, tentacles, and they want to eat your blood. eat your skin, whatever. Anyway, Jesus said, Matthew 9:38, he says, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. So we need to do some praying. Here's something, here's a principle that we need to look at. Mark chapter 6, verse 5, the Amplified says, Jesus could not do one miracle there in his hometown because of their unbelief, except he laid his hands on a few sickly people and he healed them. In other words, he couldn't do one miracle because of unbelief. You know, so he needs our cooperation. God needs our cooperation to believe him. And when faith comes, when the word comes, faith is there. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is faith food. You don't have to try to muster up faith. Hear the word, faith will be there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I'm teaching on faith. I'm going to invite you, if you want to come to learn about faith, we're teaching faith on Tuesdays, Introduction to Faith. We got a course called Introduction to ABCs of Faith. You need to learn that. Some of you Bible school students need to go back to that and learn again. You haven't arrived. You will never arrive. So the purpose of binding and loosing this prayer is to stop Satan's activities in our lives and the lives of those who give us authority in their life. If you can get someone to say, can I pray for you? They say, yes. You have authority to pray for them, to loosen them, people. And you don't have to tell them, listen, I'm about to operate a principle right now. You don't have to say that, you know. Don't tell them what you're doing. You know, sometimes we try to be, you know, tell everything. Don't try this at home. Because you might not do it right. I remember the times that I started exercising this kind of power. I didn't know I had this kind of power. The Lord showed me, we say by accident, no. The Lord showed me through circumstances in my life that came up. And I was telling about that couple of stories that I had where I was in church one Sunday. I was telling people, you know, when you don't know anything, you're like, you just don't know anything. You're just like acting tough until something happens. I'm an usher Sunday night at church. We always had Sunday night, we always prayed for the sick, prayed for people for deliverance. We never saw actual real deliverance. We just said they got delivered from the nicotine habit or something. But so I was in church one night, and so they called, you know, I happened to be by the office, and the door was over here, and I heard the phone ringing, so I ran to the office, and I got that phone that was available there. I said, hello. He said, is this so such and such a church? He said, do you guys over there pray for people to be exercised demons out of people? I said, oh, yeah, bring them over. And I'm willing. Well, I've never prayed for anybody like that before. I saw it in the Bible. So they all come in. They look very nice and sharp, you know. They all come in mannerly. So about six of them walked in, you know, when they finally came. So we're over from the Methodist church, and I know you guys, you all pray for that. I said, oh, yeah, we do. Come on, bring them. So they came, and we sat them down. I was one of the ushers. And so at the time when the pastor closed out the service, he's going to pray for people. And the power of God was released. I mean, that power of God, you can just sense the power of God is in manifestation. How many people know when the power is in manifestation, those demons are going to manifest themselves if there's a demon there? When I was ministering up north, the power of God would manifest, and they'd manifest themselves. So I was going to help these people up. I said, okay, can we help you? We're going to help you get up to the altar so we can pray for you and so on. And so while I was going to help this person, this guy started manifesting, and a voice came out of him, get out of here, right? You know, talking to me at double take. I never saw this before. A voice coming out of this guy, out of this woman. Like, you know, if you ever watch a horror movie of demons and activity on show, it's the very same thing they show there. And the voice came out of this woman saying, I hate this woman. I own this woman. You can't cast me out of here. I said, yes, we can cast you out of here. That was another time I said that. But in this time, I was afraid. I was, when you're not used to that in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night, this ain't supposed to happen. Everybody here should be all okay. You know, as far as I am concerned. But we're able to exercise our dominion over these spirits, and was able to get them out. And it's amazing what God can do. And I would never believe this stuff if it didn't happen to me. Now, it happened to me. When I look at me, I think about the times I look at other people who talked about this. And I said, you guys are weird. But it's there. It's out there. You can see the manifestation of it that's going on all over our city. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of overdose. People are dying every day. People can't get out of it. They're entangled in it. And they can't stop on their own. They need you and I to help out. And intercession is a prayer that we make. You know, it's a prayer. The highest form of love that you can love someone is to pray for people that are under those situations. Amen. So the purpose of the binding and loosing is to stop Satan's activities and take your authority, ultimately to bring God's will in for the lives of the people throughout the whole earth, if possible. By His power in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we can stop Satan's activity from manifesting. In Matthew 12:29, Jesus said to His disciples, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house." So we have authority over Satan and his demonic forces that want to rule and reign on earth. They are rebel forces that have been defeated by Jesus when He died on the cross and went to hell for you and rose from the dead on the third day. And now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. They have no jurisdiction over your life and the life of your loved ones. You have to take authority over them. If you don't, it will continue. Now, there's going to be a battle about it because people's wills are in life. Some people, they don't want to stop doing stuff right away. But you can stand in the meantime. You can stand in the gap for them until they come to a place where they will stop. But you can't look at the manifestation. You can't look at the sickness. You can't look at all the horror that's going on around them. You got to look at your... at Jesus and say, "Thank God." There's a story in Numbers 29 where the people of Israel were getting bit by those snakes because they were in rebellion, and there was demon. This is a story of how what happens to people. You know, people out of the will of God are in a mess. They know God once, but they're out now. They're in a mess. We have loved ones close to us that are out there. They're doing their own thing. They know me. They know people don't get saved and have my wisdom because they're related to me. Everybody has their own spirituality to take care of. And so I see things happening in people's lives. And so we have to do something. We have to stand in intercession for people and pray for them because they don't know how to call on God on their own. They're lost. In the midst of all the hurt and pain and all the trauma, they can't call out to God. They don't have an ounce of faith in a sense. Amen. So, but, you know, we need to instill hope in people and believe that they can get out of this stuff. You know, when I think about it, here I was, a young man. I'm 13 years old. I'm going to, I was first started going to delinquency places. I was in Fort and Kid Jail in my life. You know, I'm an old man. I'm like a 120 years old. And the Spirit, and people say, "Roma, you lived so many lives." Yes, I did. God allowed me to live long. And, I think about this. I'm 24 years old. I got born again. I graduated from college. I went to work in Kenora Patricia Child and Family Services as my first job out after college. I didn't want to move to Kenora. I hated it. I didn't like Kenora because there's so many drunks around there. Fine for a drunk young kid to go over there. Just party all the time. So I didn't want to go there. So I went there. God led me there. And I had some spiritual experiences in my room with the Holy Spirit in that town. And thank God He had to get me out of town. Maybe somebody here, God has to get you out of town. I don't know. But anyways. And so I thank God for that opportunity that He showed me some things. That I can take authority in my own life. I don't know. What was I talking about? There's too many spiritual forces going on. Too many thoughts going around here. What was it? Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, there was So anyway, I'll come back to that thought. We'll move on here. But here, let's look at here. It says that we need to bind the strong man that's in the lives of people and take authority over them on their behalf right now. They don't understand. They don't know right now that they need help. If you tell them, how are you doing? They say, oh, they're doing good. You can tell they're not doing good. You can see they're not doing good. So Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Those are types of demonic forces. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So when you're working on his behalf, nothing's going to hurt you. When you're working with, and I remember when I was up north, I was ministering one evening. There was maybe, I don't know, cram jam in that place, maybe 60 people, 100 people in that small room, and we were just a small church. And people, like wall-to-wall people, cram jam in this little building. And I'm preaching to the Lord, and I'm talking to the Lord at the same time I'm preaching to the people. The Lord's talking to me, and I'm talking to the people. He says to me, I want you to stop your message right now. There's a girl in the background. You call her out right now. There's somebody right there that needs my help right now. I said, man, that's going to ruin my service. I'm doing good here. I'm about to unleash my points here. You know, how many people know that the Lord needs to ruin some of your activities? So I preach, I'm doing good. The Lord says to me, the second time, stop the service, call that. There's a person here I want to lose right now. I kept going. And the second and the third time was very strong. I said, okay, guys, let me just stop for a second. There's someone here. I didn't know who it was. Why didn't God just tell me? He said, you in the blue shirt right now? No, he didn't say that. He said, stop right now. And very often, you know when David was sent to, or at least Samuel went to see David, he didn't say, it's David. It's David, it's David I want. But he had to run through 7 boys until he got to David. Why didn't he just... Sorry, I did that. In my pocket is a microphone. And if I press up, it shuts off. So my editor is going, demon activity. Anyways, I said, let's ask Usher. Usher's that they disappear when demons come. I said, there's a lady back here. The Lord wants to pray. Bring her over here. And so they brought her down. It seemed like a long time it happened. Like, slow motion, right? So they brought her out. You can't get away. You know, when you take somebody from a corner and there's a bunch of people there to go through that people, it's a whole, why didn't that person sit over here? So they brought them down the aisle. They're coming down the aisle. And the ushers are holding her. And she starts yelling, top of her voice, sticking out her tongue, and eyes slipped back. Ah! And the voice came out of her. He said, I own this person. I hate you. I hate her. She's mine. And the church got quiet, just like right now. And there was a gasp in the air. And the pastor and all his leadership, they all started crying. So I slapped the pastor. No, just gave it up. No, I didn't slap the pastor. I just said to them, hang on, guys. It's okay. So you see, the thing about it is, like, I've never done this before. And I acted like I'm a professional. And no one knew I've never done that before. So I'll bring over here. So I said, in the name of Jesus, you come out in the name of Jesus right now. And that person just went crazy. Like, just like in the Bible. If I didn't know the Bible, the Lord showed me. He said, when I cast a demon out of a person, they went crazy. They threw the person on the ground. They started spitting out and then growling and everything else. And I remember that the Lord showed me that. And I said, okay, just leave her alone. It'll be okay. So you know, we need to take authority because that person didn't know. And then she says to me, she wrote me a letter. She said, Pastor Roma, I want to tell you something. I've been bound for so long. Three other times or something like that, she said, I was trying to kill myself. I hung myself in my house. I lynched myself, and I would jump, and people would rescue me. And she was a believer. She believed in the Bible, believed in God like you and me. But, to a degree, but I don't think she really understood and fully understood about salvation. So she said, from the time you cast that spirit out of me, I was completely free. I didn't have those voices in me anymore. I didn't have that feeling inside of me that I was bound to the words that were spoken to me in terror, these words over and over, wicked words speaking out to me. He said, I didn't understand all that. He said, I want you to know that the doctors had told me before that I would never have a child. I want to let you know that I'm pregnant. I'm having a baby. And during that time, I gave myself to Jesus. I'm now saved. I'm born again, serving God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Great, great testimony, is it? Amen. Now, if I didn't know anything about it, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have taken authority. So just because you don't know right now, just because maybe you've never done it before, it doesn't mean you can't do it. You can do it. You can do just like what I did. And just like everybody else did in the scriptures, and take authority over people. And you don't have to be in someone's actual physical presence to take authority over them. I could be standing right here, and if someone's in bondage over in Westford, I can take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just like Jesus said, go home, your son is healed. We can take authority over that. And so we need to see the truth. And the reality of how much freedom we have, we don't have to be right there. A lot of times people want me to come to right into the ICU room, and I can lay my hands on people. That was not always possible. They wouldn't allow me to. But we can pray. Amen. We can believe and have people set free. Amen. Glory to God. I have so much more to say about this, but you can't take it right now. Amen. Maybe another time. Amen?